Hello, and welcome to St. James the Less. I'm the rector, the Reverend Astrid Storm. I've been at St. James for over 8 years, and I just love this place and am excited to walk you through it. There's so much more that I could say than what will be in this self-guided tour, and if you'd like to learn more, please don't hesitate to reach out. Once we start, you can pause this audio as you move from one section of the church to the next. So, first, St. James the Less is an Episcopal church. We are connected to and stem from the Church of England, which under the inimitable Henry VIII in the 16th century, institutionally split from the Roman Catholic Church. We've retained a lot of the ancient customs of the church, however, and consider ourselves in the apostolic succession, the body of Christians that includes Roman Catholics, Orthodox, and Anglicans, us, that can trace our clergy lines back to the 12 disciples. We are part of the Anglican Communion, the third largest body of Christians in the world. That's some background to help you understand a couple things about St. James. First, its architecture reveals our adherence to traditional forms of worship. We'll come back to that. Second, it's designed in the English country style. Quite a number of Episcopal churches all over the country were built in the 19th century to look like churches back in England. St. James was designed after the Church of St. James the Less in Nutley, England, south of London. Even though St. James the Less wasn't founded until 1849, the history of the Episcopal Church in Scarsdale goes all the way back to 1720, when ministers from the Episcopal parish in Rye used to ride over to Scarsdale a couple times a month to administer the sacraments to Anglican worshipers in this community. So that's just a little background, and here we go through the church. As you enter the church through the vestibule, you may have noticed a plaque on the right. It's dedicated to William H. Popham, of one of the founding families of Scarsdale, and who leased 3 acres of land to the newly incorporated Church of St. James the Less in 1849. The lease stipulates that if requested by a member of the Popham family and their descendants, the church must pay rent of 1 silver dime each year on the feast of St. James and St. Philip. When you walk into the church, the first thing you see is the baptismal font. The Christian life begins at baptism, the foundation for everything that follows. In our church, you only need to be baptized to receive communion. It is full initiation into the rites of the church. That's why children can receive communion in the Episcopal Church. So you're reminded each Sunday as you enter where it all began, at this or some other font. The font was one of the first gifts to the church given by the rector's sisters in his honor, the first rector's sisters. To my knowledge, it even survived the fire in 1883. It is marble with 8 sides, the classic design for a baptismal font, symbolizing both the 8 people on the ark, because baptism in Christianity evokes the story of Noah and his family being delivered through the waters of the flood, and the 8th day, Christianity's way of describing the new day brought about by the resurrection of Christ. As you now turn towards the front of the church, the next thing you're meant to see is the altar. Our worship centers on the weekly celebration of the Eucharist, the reception of Christ's body and blood, which is blessed each week by the priest at the altar. This altar was given in the 1930s. The inscription on the stairs is dedicated to all the saints, small s, who came before us in this very place. The altar is on the east end of the church in keeping with tradition. The priest and people all face east towards Jerusalem, where when the Eucharistic prayer is said and the bread and the wine are blessed, Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus rose from the dead. You're still in the back section of the church, so look up and see the wooden rafters. This part is called the nave, the Latin word for ship. In Christian tradition, the church is like a ship, navigating its people safely through life. Our nave is the original church, built in 1851 and rebuilt in 1883 after a fire destroyed much of the interior. Many of the windows came much later, but there are three older windows of note. The first is way above you, behind the organ pipes. If you turn around and look up, you'll see it, the small triangular purple window. The other window is on your right as you face the altar, the second window from the front. These are the Popham windows, the oldest after the small purple window. They were dedicated in memory of William H. Popham and his wife, Sarah. The colors match what the interior would have looked like at that time, very dark wood and a lot of brown and dark red. Someone who remembered it back in that day described being in this church like being wrapped in an oriental rug. I love that. Across from the Popham window and slightly down are the Tiffany windows. The tracing at the top was designed to match the Popham window. And the lilies, of course, are symbols of Easter and the resurrection of Christ. They were dedicated in memory of the Bates, a prominent family at St. James the Less at that time. Now, moving out of this section of the church, we come to the stone part. This was built and dedicated in the mid-1920s. The design was by Hobart Upjohn, grandson of the architect Richard Upjohn. Hobart Upjohn was a member of this church. This entire stone section was added. It replaced a much smaller bump out, or what we call chancel, the name for the place where the altar sits. All this stone that you see was local. You'll notice that the church is in the shape of a cross, also a very classic design. These arms that go out, the arms of the cross, are called the transepts. Of the windows you see here, the more distinguished ones are the Benedicite window in the south transept, a huge depiction of one of the great canticles of the Episcopal Church. If you look closely, you can see it's a hymn in praise of God's creation, wind, fire, plants and animals, and finally, people. They were designed by the Whitefriars Studio in England, as were several other windows throughout the church. You can still see a little white friar in the lower right-hand corner of these windows if you look closely. The window behind the altar, also a white friar window, depicts baptism on the left. As I said, the sacrament of initiation into the Christian church and the Eucharist. In the center, Holy Communion. And on the right, the sacrament of confirmation, which is the reaffirmation of one's baptismal vows that usually takes place sometime in the early teenage years. We're about to wrap up, but I want to draw your attention to one more thing. If you stand facing the pulpit, you'll see on the left a plaque. This plaque contains the names of all the young men who fought and died in World War II. Many of them are in our graveyard. There's such heartbreak in this, and I sometimes point out in church that I can't imagine what it would have been like being the rector then and preaching the funeral sermons of so many promising young men. If you have time after this, walk through our graveyard, which is a trove of history. Many veterans are out there, as are all the faithful men and women who built this church and took good care of it, stewards of St. James the Less in their time, as we seek to be now in ours. Thank you for joining me on this audio tour. I hope you'll come visit on a Sunday morning. Our services are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. See you soon.